You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Media and Communications Minister, Paul Goldsmith, has announced that the Broadcasting Standards Authority, BSA, will be scrapped with media to self-regulate instead. Goldsmith says this is due to the regulatory framework not keeping up with industry changes, describing the Broadcasting Act as no longer fit for purpose. I spoke to Dr. Peter Thompson, Associate Professor in Media and Communications at Te Herenga Waka Victoria University and Trustee at Better Public Media, about the change. I started by asking if he could explain what the BSA is and the function it serves.
The Broadcasting Standards Authority is a statutory regulator, and that means it has a quasi-judicial powers to oversee broadcasting standards. And those broadcasting standards primarily apply, obviously, to radio and television, and they can also apply to content online that has also been broadcast. Because the Broadcasting Act 1989 is a bit ambiguous about what it means by broadcasting in the digital era, there's, of course, been a huge debate about whether the Broadcasting Standards Authority's jurisdiction extends to other kinds of media service online that have broadcasting-like qualities. And that's one of the issues of debate.
And why has the government decided to scrap it, firstly, but also why do you disagree with their reasoning?
There's a long tale to be told here. Fundamentally, I mean, the government has really enacted a play from the neoliberal book of the 1980s. And I say that because it presumes that deregulation and industry self-regulation can be more efficient and effective and fair in delivering those broadcasting standards, such as accuracy, balance, fairness, controlling discrimination, degradation, privacy, and so forth, than a statutory regulator. And I don't think there's any evidence to say that the New Zealand Media Council, which is the industry counterpart of the BSA that's not statutory, and they oversee mainly news and online media, but they have no powers of enforcement. There's no reason, I think, to suppose that they are necessarily going to uphold these standards better than a statutory regulator. Now, why does the government want to get rid of the BSA? Well, it's an interesting debate because last year, the government put out a series of discussion papers under the set of media reforms that were developed by the Ministry of Culture and Heritage. And they invited public consultation on this. Part of that consultation involved a proposal to modernise media regulation, and that suggested a number of different permutations to reform the BSA, specifically by having industry bodies deal with frontline day-to-day complaints about individual, broadcasting items where, for example, someone had breached privacy or fairness or accuracy standards. But then there would also be a statutory regulator operating in the background that had oversight of those processes and could also deal with systemic or structural issues that were arising in the media ecology. So that was quite important, because what the current proposal suggests is that we're going to abandon any statutory body altogether. And that leaves the door open, for a media actor that didn't want to adhere to the standards to do whatever the heck they like. So why would the government decide to go on a different tack, given that these options haven't been publicly discussed? I think it's an ideological response, largely, and it's an ideological response to the recent furore over the BSA's decision to officially hear a complaint about comments Sean Plunkett made on his The Platform. And those comments, whether or not they would be upheld or not, aren't really the issue. But the comments that he made seemed to be disparaging to Māori, and that there was a complaint that went through the process. And the BSA said, well, because it's a service that appears to have the characteristics of broadcasting, and it was on a live stream, we're going to treat it as a broadcast, and therefore we think it's within our jurisdiction. Now, my view of that is that the law is perfectly ambiguous on that point. The 1989 Broadcasting Act talks about content, you know, that's delivered through telecommunications. Well, you could say the internet is a form of telecommunication, but it doesn't specifically say the internet or mention online streaming, because we really didn't have those back in 1989. And so the BSA has been accused, you know, fairly broadly by the political right of overstepping its jurisdiction, of engaging in a power grab. And some people have even said it's like a Soviet-era Stasi or an Orwellian bureaucracy, none of which are really fair assessments of what the BSA is trying to do. But the political heat over this issue has possibly created an opportunity whereby the current government sees a chance to appeal to a constituency of voters who vehemently oppose any kind of media regulation. And so I think it's political point scoring rather than an evidence-based form of policy development in the public interest.
In simple terms, for a listener who wants to make a complaint, maybe to Sean Plunkett, or maybe they don't like something I've said on air at 95BFM, what exactly is going to replace the BSA?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm not sure if the minister actually knows. In his public statements, he suggested that the New Zealand Media Council would be the model for that. And the New Zealand Media Council has, independent appointees. It usually has a chair that's a retired judge or someone of significant legal standing. And the process would be that, first of all, if you have a complaint about the standards, you would go to the media outlet and see if they would remedy the issue, if you know, depending on what the complaint is. And then if you're not satisfied with that, you can direct the complaint to the New Zealand Media Council. And if it falls under the standards which they purport to uphold, then, you know, they can issue a judgment on that. Now, I know journalists who've had complaints about them go to the Media Council, and they generally take it very seriously. I mean, professional journalists don't want to be hauled over the coals and criticised by the Media Council. It's not good for your career and for the media organisation. It's certainly not good for your brand image. Nevertheless, the New Zealand Media Council doesn't have any statutory powers. The Broadcasting Standards Authority does have some limited powers. It can fine you up to $5,000 in serious cases, and in some instances, it can take you off air for 24 hours or suspend your advertising for a similar period. Now, let's say those are relatively modest powers, and they're very rarely used. But the point is that you can speak softly if you have a big stick. And in the digital media environment, where we're talking not just about small local media, but we're talking about, you know, global media platforms that have the potential to proliferate all kinds of problematic content online, you might need a very large stick. And countries like the UK and most of the European Union have introduced regulations to address the issue of platform power. And their large stick comes in the form of potential criminal proceedings against managers if they repeatedly breach standards or don't adhere to the regulations. And they also have significant fines of up to 10% of global turnover. Now, all of a sudden, we've got the attention of the big media giants and the platforms. We don't have anything like this here. So the minister's proposal is going in completely the opposite direction to other democracies. It seems to be a blind faith in the efficacy of deregulated markets and industry's willingness to police their own activities. Now, I happen to think that the New Zealand Media Council does a pretty good job. How it could be expanded to cover all media, I don't know. But if you have an entirely voluntary model where you can choose whether or not to be subject to the new regulators' standards, and there are no consequences even if you do sign up for breaching any of those standards, then I worry that this is going to be a real problem that's corrosive to the democratic process. And the reason I would say that is that, of course, our media form the basis of the Fourth Estate. You know, they're there to provide the public with information. They're there to hold the powerful to account. Well, if those in power or those with powerful interests have control of the media and they decide that they don't want to adhere to those standards, or that in an environment of, you know, intense audience fragmentation, competition, loss of advertising to the big platforms, you know, and eroding traditional business models. You know, if you're a media operator in that environment and you're finding that adhering to the standards is now colliding with your commercial interests, and in fact it carries a commercial opportunity cost, you know, to do those double checks, to employ that extra journalist, to make sure that your facts are straight, then first of all, there's a risk that you could slowly see a decline of standards, and, you know, a gradual race to the bottom where, you know, standards are a nice to have, not a must do. But the worst case scenario, of course, would be a rogue media operator who was completely uninterested in adhering to any kind of standards or appealing to any kind of public interest principles. I mean, one could hypothetically imagine, for example, an overseas billionaire who had an interest in conspiracy theories, vaccine skepticism, or climate change denial, who takes over a significant share of a media company, ousts the board, and starts to dictate editorial policy to pump out their own propaganda. Of course, that couldn't possibly happen here in New Zealand.
And unfortunately, we are running out of time in this interview, so I just want to quickly wrap up by asking, what do you see as the immediate next steps for broadcasters now?
Well, some of the broadcasters who have been on the wrong end of BSA decisions are celebrating and crowing about a great victory for free speech. It's not that at all. Poor standards such as accuracy, balance and fairness are not an affront to free speech in a democracy. They're the very foundation of democracy. So I think first of all, there's going to be a strong reaction from those groups that recognise that the media have a role to play as our fourth estate and wants to defend those standards and make sure that they're robustly enforced. And for the government, if they actually want to progress their proposal to abolish the BSA, they are going to have to change the Broadcasting Act and a number of other peripheral legislative acts, because, you know, this is an institution that is actually created by the Broadcasting Act, and therefore you would actually need to rewrite the legislation to abolish it. And that will take considerable time. It would have to go through all the usual legal processes, including public submissions and select committee hearings. So it's by no means a switch that the government can simply flick and have the BSA disappear, much as some of those on the political right might like to see that.
That was Associate Professor at Victoria University and Trustee at Better Public Media, Dr. Peter Thompson, on the government announcing that the Broadcasting Standards Authority will be scrapped.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.